your Lord and your Savior. It's a personal relationship with a living God. But I do think it's important that we remember and we reverence and we pay attention to the things that are written and given to us in the Scripture. And by taking communion, we're telling the world and we're celebrating what Jesus Christ did for us. I want to read just a couple of verses to you out of the book of St. Luke in chapter number 22. It says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him," speaking of Jesus. "And he saith unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." You know, you've got a cup here. If you want to go ahead and prepare it, you can just peel back the first portion. It'll reveal the bread. And what I want us to understand for just a minute is this is sacred, it's holy. You know, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We need to understand when we stand before God what he did for us. Have you ever seen anybody wearing a cross and you wonder if they even understand what the cross means? You see the way that they live, and you see the demonstration that sometimes they put on, and we see that in this world today. The Bible actually warns us not to eat this unworthily. Can we bow our head for just a minute and let's say a silent prayer and ask God to guide us? Amen. We want to give God all the honor and the glory for what he's done in our lives and what he's done at our church. As we prepare to take of the bread, which represents the body of Christ, remembrance of Jesus and what Jesus done for us, I'm going to ask Brother Jay Dedman, brother, if you would, come on up and pray the blessing over the bread.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace, Lord. Without those, we are nothing, Lord. That you had the ultimate plan from the garden on, Lord, that you would redeem us through the cross. We ask now that you bless this bread, a symbol of your body that was broken for us, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The scripture says that after he had blessed it, he took the bread and he broke it and he passed it and he gave it to them. As we take this bread, this represents taking and accepting the body of Christ as our Savior. You know, and likewise, if you'd want to go ahead and prepare your cup, be careful, but take it and you can peel back the second layer. You see, I believe the blood of Jesus Christ covers everything that you bring to it. Sometimes the problem with people in the blood of Jesus Christ, they don't quite understand, but here's what I want you to understand. Everything that you bring to the Lord and you want to put under the blood is a covering. The only thing that's not going to be covered is what you don't bring. Sometimes people say, well, you don't understand. I'll tell you who does. Everything that we bring is covered. I'm going to ask Brother Billy Green, if you would, to come up and pray the blessing over the fruit of the vine.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come in and have communion with you. But one day, God, we get to sit down at the table with you when you call us all in heaven. And God, as we partake of the fruit of the vine, God, let it help us always remember what it means to us when God sent Jesus to the cross on Calvary to die for our sins. And God, we just thank you for the plan of salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Billy. Scripture says that after the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. As we take of the fruit of the vine, we take it in remembrance of Christ. When you wear a cross, wear it in remembrance of what Jesus Christ did for you. And let God have all the glory that only he and he alone deserves in our life. I'm so thankful that I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior and that we're able to stand today and take communion in remembrance of what God has done for us. Amen. I'm going to ask Miss Judy if she would come on.
In my childhood, when we traveled so far, by nightfall how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round me so gently. It's so heavy, and I'm longing to see all my loved ones and friends I have known. Every step draws me nearer.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Judy, for that song. You know, as I sit and I think about Jesus sitting with his disciples, and he knows what's about to happen. He said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. He desired, he had a longing to be there with them. He cared for them. He worked with them. He taught them. The Bible talks about another supper. Sometimes I get to thinking about it when we have homecoming and we're here together and we're having homecoming. And I think about what it's going to be like for Christians when we get to go and be with the Lord in eternity and we're able to have homecoming with Jesus. When we're able to have homecoming with our loved ones that have already gone on to be with the Lord. You know, somebody mentioned something to me the other day. They said they were kind of disturbed because they had said somebody tried to tell them that when you get to heaven, you weren't going to be like you are here. You're not going to know who anybody is. You won't remember anybody. And I began to think about that for a minute. I thought, well, the Bible don't support that. In fact, the Bible does more than that. Remember the story where Jesus was there and the disciples came and he was transfigured before them. And there were two people there that were standing with them. If I remember correctly, it was Moses and Elijah. You ever thought about how the disciples even knew that it was them? God revealed it to them. What about David? When he had a son that had died and he desired, obviously, that his son would live, as we all do. But his son didn't live, and his son went on before him, and they were afraid that David would be so broken because he was already crying and seeking God and not eating. But when he found out the child died, he got up and he washed his face. He went and ate. He said, because I can't bring him back, but I can go and be where he is. There continue, if you go through the Word of God, there's actually a story where Samuel was summoned. Saul went to the medium of Endor. Basically, he wasn't hearing from God anymore because he was out of God's will. He couldn't hear God speak, so he went to a witch. Folks, let me tell you something. Don't go down here and get your palm read, get in the altar. Get to where you can hear from God again, where God will give you some direction. He couldn't hear from God, so he went to a witch and he said, I need to hear from Samuel because Samuel was the one who delivered the word of God to him. Now normally what happens, if you understand it, is the only thing that happens when a person has a seance and somebody comes and they say, well, I spoke to my loved one. No, you didn't. You spoke to a demon. Read your Bible. The witch expected a demon to come, but what was surprising to the witch is Samuel come walking up, and she looked at Saul, and she said, you have deceived me. Why? Because the evil of this world understands that there is a God, and they understand who God is. They just don't want you to have it revealed to you so that you will walk with God and follow God and serve God. Well, you know, Samuel came walking up. She was scared. That's more evidence that we're going to know. You see, there's a great homecoming for the people of God. Jesus is coming. We're living in a world today, folks, that I'm troubled. I can't help it. I come in here this morning, I had 3 or 4 messages. I didn't know exactly what to do. I'm so troubled about what I see going on in America today. And can I just say this to you? Don't let all the garbage that you see going on with the rainbow cause you to forget that that belongs to God. That it is a sign that God placed in the heavens for us to remember that he said he will not destroy this earth anymore with a flood. Now, he said with a flood. But the Bible does say in the New Testament, and it reveals a picture in the Old, it said the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Just because there's not going to be another great flood, that's what the rainbow in the sky represents, does not mean that God is not going to bring judgment upon this earth for those that are left behind when he comes to get his children. He's coming to get his children. You know, sometimes in all that's going on in the world today, I get to the point that I think about, and I got a song here. I just want to read you a couple of lines from it. I'm going to go to the Bible in a minute, Mark chapter number 13. But his song says, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Says, this world is not my home. I'm only passing by. My treasures and my hope are all up in the sky. My friends and loved ones wait who've trod this way before. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Have you ever got to the point you start trying to figure out, well, where am I going to be in 5 years? What's the world going to be like in 5 years? And you get to the point that sometimes you just remember what Paul said when he said he desired not to be unclothed but clothed upon. In other words, he had a longing to go and be with God. So much so that God had to remind him that there is work for you to do here. Now, what I want to remind you of and what's on my heart this morning is I want to remind you that Jesus Christ is coming back. We're living in a world today that's changing so fast and so much that sometimes even to preach this kind of a message, people don't want to hear it, they don't want a part of it, because the truth is, people have got to the point, sometimes I wonder, do they really believe what the Bible says about Jesus coming back? Let's look at Mark chapter number 13. And begin reading in verse number 32. The scripture says this, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed and watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now, if we look at this scripture, four times in six verses, Mark uses the word watch. I want us to consider three meanings of the word watch and understand what I believe that God is trying to speak to us and say in this scripture. And number one is to be aware of what's going on around you. In other words, don't get desensitized to the things that are going on, okay? There are a lot of things going on today, and I begin, and this part of my struggle, you know, is this. The other message I thought I'd preach is this. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not. I'm not ashamed to say I'm a child of God. I'm not ashamed to say I belong to God. But I want to tell you, people have gotten today to where the world is getting, it's getting a little bit churchy. And the church is getting so worldly in a lot of places that you have a hard time separating the two. I was talking to Brother Allen just this past week in Bible school, and we were sharing some things that are on our heart, and I think this is very, very important, church, that we understand this. There are some things that absolutely are written in the Word of God that are wrong, and they need to stay outside that door. They should never be accepted in the church. They should never be ordained in the church. They should never be part of the church. Now, here's something else I want to tell you. They shouldn't be a part of this country, but America has drifted so far away from God that I sometimes wonder if America realizes the scripture is true, that Jesus Christ is the only way, and he is coming back like he said. We need to watch. But here's the thing. Be aware of what is going on around you. The Bible tells us and it gives us warnings and things to look for as we approach the closing days of the coming of the Lord. Brother Roy alluded to something about the computer. And brother, I can relate to it. I had to go to the doctor this week because I look at a screen so much, my eyeballs feel like they're twisted. And I've got progressive trifocals. There ain't a whole lot more they can do. But I look at that screen and I look at that computer and you got that phone. And I told my wife, I said, I got to get up to preach. Where's my iPad? Not knowing I'd already brought it up here. You got that phone. It's just a mini computer. The technology, the Word of God tells us that in the last days, many shall run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. The world is a very, very small place today. What about the spreading of the gospel? Doesn't the Bible say that this gospel must first be published in all nations? I want to tell you what made that possible. The printing press, how long has it been around? Just a few hundred years. And we thought that was amazing when it happened and we could print things for the scribes. A scribe, and what he was, is he used to sit down with a pen and he would have to copy the scripture. And where it says in the 5th chapter of Matthew, not one jot or one tittle will pass. If a scribe were transferring from page to page, if he missed one dotting of the I or crossing of the T, he would have to start over at that entire scroll. The printing press comes along and they could print it and they could give you a copy and they could give you a copy and they could give you a copy. Let me tell you something, folks. The internet has come along that if people in Iran and Iraq want to hear this message from Hiram First Baptist Church this morning, they can hear it and the government can't keep it from them. That's fulfilling the scripture. We're approaching the days for Jesus Christ to return. We've got people predicting that he's going to come. Didn't the scriptures say, the first verse we read, that no man knows the day? People are trying to predict it. There was a book written in 1988, 88 Reasons Why the Lord's Coming Back in 1988. There was a prediction that Jesus Christ would come in May the 21st of 2010. The world was talking about it. The Mayan calendar ended December 21st, 2012. It's already 2021. No man knows the day. And because it's moved and because we see that he hasn't come back yet and the world continues to be, as they call it, progressive. I want to tell you something, a progressive world that's progressively drifting farther and farther away from God is a world that's progressively not watching for Jesus to come. Scripture says no man knows the day. If you understand your scriptures, if you look at Mark chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, Jesus said, and he teaches, it's going to be a time of deception. A time of deception to where secular humanism, hedonism, materialism, false gods on every hand. You know, we don't follow those websites, but there are hundreds of websites right now where men proclaim to be Jesus Christ, the Savior, today. Somebody mentioned something to me recently. They were going to Texas on a vacation, and they were going, thought about going to Waco. I said, what are you going to do in Waco? Go see the Branch Davidians. Remember that? I want to tell you something. The scripture says in John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. That hasn't changed. You know where we're at today? We've got friends over here that are involved in this, and we've got friends that are involved in that, and we love this person, and we love that person, and you're supposed to. But just because you got friends involved with this and friends involved with that and you love them does not mean that you're going to accept the things that are contrary to the Word of God and say that just anyway's all right. Because it's not all right. It's a time of deception, and we need to be watching because the deception that we're seeing today is a great sign for us to be looking for Jesus to come. See, it's a time of deception. It's also a world of destruction. You see, we've grown so used to war, and we've grown so used to fighting that we think it's just the norm. Sometimes you can even listen to politicians, and I've heard some people talking about how war sometimes is good for the economy. It's not good for people. If you consider the last 100 years have been the bloodiest 100 years in the earth's history with World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, And then you look at the ongoing war against terrorism, and folks, it has not stopped. And I believe until Jesus comes, this will be a generation. There will not be a generation without war. And here's why. Because radical Islam has declared war on the United States. That hasn't changed. You think we hadn't heard much about that lately? Let me tell you, it hadn't changed. You know, what's overridden it is we have things that have also declared war on the United States to where in this country today you can be anything you want to be except a fundamentalist Christian. Because the ones that are accepted to be persecuted against, the ones that are accepted to be ridiculed, it's okay to discriminate as long as you're discriminating against a Christian. Have y'all noticed that? Have you noticed where you work that you've got, you can't discriminate against this and this and this, and we're accepting this and we're accepting that, but you can't stand up and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way because the Bible said so. A time of destruction. And what I want you to prepare for as Christians is to understand that there is a culture of war on Christianity. All you have to do is take your kids down to college. You know, they get out of high school, and folks, y'all need to get educated. But you go down there and you listen to the, I remember taking my daughter over to West Georgia, and we sat in this giant room, and we're there with her, and you know, they pretty much told me as a dad, you're here to pay the bill, so sit down and keep your mouth shut. Don't ask any questions. You don't need to know what grades she's making. You don't need to know what decisions she's making. And we're going to educate her for you. You brought her this far, and we're going to tell her what's really right. I want to tell you what's really right is what's written in the Word of God. And God has not changed. He's not going to change. He's still God. And the war on Christianity continues. When you have politicians that stand up and they say on national television that there's no way that a person can believe that Jesus Christ is the only way and be sane enough to be a leader in this country. They've said that. We've had a president that stood up and said that in this country, this is no longer a Christian nation. God forbid, can America not get back on her knees? Let me tell you something. The Lord's coming back for me. I'm leaving. And if you're saved, you're going to be leaving. There are people who don't believe that. The scripture says, the book of Peter's writing, that there would come scoffers and mockers in the last days, and they'd say, you know, we've heard it all our lives. Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. Jesus hadn't come back yet. He's not going to come. Oh, yes, he is. And the signs are pointing toward it. Mark 13, verse number 8. If you look at the latter part of the verse, it talks about national disasters. It says, there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. Now, I look back in my notes the last time I preached on this subject. And it's been several years ago. Guess what? It was pre-COVID-19. Here we are today, and I'm so glad to see y'all. I really am. I really am. I like to be in the house of God with God's people. But can I tell you, COVID-19 is just a sign that Jesus is coming. You know, Joplin, Missouri had the 9th biggest tornado in American history just a few years ago. You look at the destruction from the storms that are going through Alabama, Georgia. 2004, tsunami kills 300,000 people. Can you imagine 300,000 people in the United States dying from one storm? Didn't even make enough news for a lot of us to understand it. 2010, there were 200,000 people in Haiti killed by one earthquake. Their buildings aren't built like ours. They've got concrete structures with no steel reinforcement. Can you imagine an earthquake hitting California and killing 200,000 people? 2011, there was a tsunami, a tidal wave that hit Japan. 15,000 people were killed, and there are over 3,600 people that were unaccounted for. 2011, last statistics I had, there were over 1,000 tornadoes in the United States. What about medical disasters? We've heard of AIDS, it's gone away. We've heard of cancers, of course, we're hearing that. And bird flu, swine flu, now we can add to the list COVID-19. It's not going to change till Jesus comes. Sometimes we think that if we educate people enough, and if people get tolerant enough, and if people learn to accept this and they learn to accept that, then the world's going to reach some state of oblivion and everybody's going to just be okay. What the Bible actually says is that the world is going to get worse and worse and worse until Jesus comes. And for you and I as Christians, we need to do what Mark said, is we need to watch. On my wall down at work, I've got, on you know, the little sticky notes like this. I've got one that simply says, watch. And I got another one, and I adapted this from a preacher that I heard preach a message. He said that he had a preacher friend that every time he would see him and they would have a conversation, he would say, perhaps today. Now here's the question, could it be today? Do you believe it could be today? Do you believe that Jesus is coming? Perhaps today. You know, what about economic disasters? I'll just be honest with y'all. I check that stock market all the time. I say, Lord, just a little more. Y'all do it too. When I looked at this and I began to think about it, the debt, the national debt. And sometimes when we think about economic disasters, we think, well, Jesus can't come back unless the stock market crashes, unless the dollar has no value. That's what that means. Well, no, that's not what that means. Because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Here's what I think that the biggest national disaster financially is when you pay people a living wage to sit at home and don't expect them to work, you can destroy a country. Now, I'm not trying to be political. I'm just trying to give you a little common sense. Jesus said, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. He said, they married, they gave in marriage, and they ate and they drank, not knowing until the flood came and took them all away. What does that mean? That means they lived their daily lives, celebrating, enjoying their lives, not expecting anything to happen because things were so good for them. They did not believe the preaching of Noah when he built the ark. And he built the ark and they said, what are you doing? He said, a flood's coming. He said, things are going to change. They mocked him and they went on their own way. You see, I believe that in America, it's going to get richer and richer and richer. And what that does is it causes people to say, I don't need God. I've got everything that I need. I'm doing well. My life is well. Look at what we have been able to do. I want to tell you something, folks. He's coming, and he's coming for people that are looking for him. And people that aren't looking for him are going to be surprised. You know, it needs to be watching. It means to be aware of what's going on around you. But it also means being listening for the sounds. It means to be awake. Now, you mothers in the house, y'all are going to understand what I'm talking about. You ever had a sick kid? Now, I'm a mothering dad, so I'm very much like this. They can feel bad, and you know they feel bad. You lay your head down on the pillow, they can say, Mama, one time. And I've heard people say, well, I could sleep through a freight train running through the back of the house. I can sleep through a storm. Don't wake me up. I got a story, but I ain't going to tell it. But I remember one time, Matthew, he was about 2 years old. He was having some trouble with his stomach, and he had at that time what was called an ileus, which is where a part of his intestine was paralyzed. And we were concerned about him. And I was laying down, and, you know, when he come along, that was my boy, man. You know, he was it to me. And you still mean a lot to me, son. But I remember one night I heard him, and he just coughed. And immediately I jumped up and I went in there. It was almost like in me I knew that something wasn't right. And I went in there and he spit up a wad of bubble gum as big as a golf ball. He used to eat it and swallow it. And that was part of what created some of the problem that he had. But had I not heard, what could possibly have happened? What happens when your kid is playing and you hear them cry mama or you hear them cry daddy and they could be in a crowd of 50 or 100 other kids? You know that voice. I want to tell you something about God's children. 10th chapter of John, it talks about the porter going to the door and he's going to speak. And there was a whole bunch of sheep in there, and this man had his sheep, and this man had his sheep. But when the porter, when he spoke, those sheep that knew his voice, they come out. I want to tell you, one day there's going to be a cry, and those who know his voice are going to get up, and they're going to go with him. I didn't say the church is going to get up and go with him, because I want to tell you what I believe is going to happen. I believe when the Lord speaks and his children arise, there's going to be people show up next Sunday. And they're going to be saying, where's the preacher? They're going to be saying, have y'all seen Brother Billy? Y'all want me to say y'all's name now, don't you? I want them to show up, and I'm not going to be here because I am going to be gone home to be with my Lord. I heard a story, a true story, that comes to my mind here of a family of nine that came to church. They came to church and on a Sunday night, and the preacher got up and he preached a message similar to what I'm preaching. He just preached that Jesus is coming. And he said, some people are going to be left behind. Not everybody's going to get to go. And as he preached, there was a little boy that was paying a lot of attention. But after church, just like people do, they got to fellowship and they got to talking. He laid down on the back bench and went to sleep. Just like a lot of us, with a family of nine, they drove two cars. You know, Daddy got his group, Mama got her group, and they all got in the cars and they went to the house, and it wasn't until they got home that they realized that little Johnny wasn't with them. And when they come back to the church, they said, we must have left him. There was a little boy sitting in the church who was horrified. And he was crying and he was weeping. More so than they left me. I mean, I hate to admit it, but y'all, some of y'all have left your kids' places. There was more to it than that, because when they come in and they looked at him, he said, I thought that God had come back and got y'all, and I was the only one that didn't get to go. I want to tell you, there's going to come a day when the Lord's going to come and get his church, and he's going to say, I am tired of sending the message. I'm tired of telling people how much I love them. I'm tired of the blood of Christ being walked on by people who don't have any respect and honor for what I've done. I'm tired of the work that my son did on the cross of being mocked and walked over. He's going to say, son, go get your church. You ever get to where no matter where you're at in this world, you don't feel at home anymore? You know, no matter what you get, you thank God for it, you thank him for the blessings, but you ever get to the point that you're just longing for home? You ever get to the point that you're thinking about your loved ones and you think about that reunion day? Let me tell you something, folks. We're blessed. We are blessed in America. Every house in here, there's a big screen color TV probably in every room. You've got $1,000 cell phones in your cars in your pockets. You've got multiple cars, and most people even got multiple houses and more toys than we can play with. And maybe the reason we're not content with it as Christians is because we realize that there's something that God's got for us that's out of this world. And we're feeling the pull as he reaches down and says, "Church, get prepared because I'm coming. I'm coming." You know what it means? Be listening. I was sitting at a table at work a couple of years ago, and I didn't know it, but there's a girl office next to us had her phone ringer set up as a trumpet. I'm sitting there checking a job, and I hear the trumpet. First thing I said is, "Did y'all hear that?" Not everybody's going to hear it. Not everybody's going to be prepared. But it's going to make a sound. And here's something else that I believe it means. I believe it means to be at your best. Chapter 13, verse 36 and 37 says this: "Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Now, folks, I'm going to be honest here. I'm not trying to be a spectacle, or just want to tell you what's on my heart. I don't know how much time I've got left. I don't know how many years I'm going to have to serve God. I don't know how much more time I'm going to have to be a dad to my boys and my daughter, or a husband to my wife, or a friend to you. And sometimes when I look at my life and I look at how good God's been to me, I thank God, why me? I don't know how you feel about yourself, but I sometimes don't think I'm a good person. I look back at the people that I've had in my life and the people, especially those that are gone, that I don't have the opportunity to tell them anymore that I love them. I don't have the opportunity to do anything for them anymore. And I thank God, with as much time as I've got left, I want to be the best that I can be. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm praying, God, I feel like I'm a mess. Will you help me? You know why? Psalms chapter 90, verse 12, Scripture says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom." You see, here's what I believe. Jesus is coming. I might live to be 70 years old, but I might not. And by the way, that's not that far away from me. Some of you are there and you're thinking, "I might live to be 90. Well, I hope you do. I might live to be 100. But here's one thing to understand. 10 out of 10 will die. 100 out of 100 will die. And the Bible says this, speaking of every man, it says, "Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Here's what I want you to understand. Every knee, every mocker, everyone that persecutes, everyone that makes fun, everyone that tries to take our rights away as Christians, one day will stand before God, and they will bow before him, because he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords, and he will come back in power and glory, like the Scripture says. He could come back for his church today. But one thing's for certain, he's coming for me one day. And when I stand before him, understanding that I only have so much time left, I want to be at my best. Sometimes when I pray for me. I pray for you. But I pray for me. I pray, God, help me be the best me that I can be. Because without you, God, I wouldn't be anything. You see, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. Why do I share that with you today? Because the message that God has put on my heart to deliver you to you this morning has been on my heart day after day after day. It's not always the message that God wants me to preach, because a preacher must declare the whole counsel of God. I must preach whatever God gives me. But can I tell you that the Lord tells me that, yes, I see, because I ask him, I say, do you ever ask God, God, do you see what's going on in America today? Do you see this things that are being accepted? Are you surprised anymore? Sometimes I shake my head and I say, I don't even know how to respond anymore. And I say, God, do you see it? God, do you hear us? And he says, keep watching. I'm coming. I'm coming. Now, folks, some people try to tell you, well, this has got to happen. This has got to happen. This has got to happen. I've been in church since I was that long. Something like that. I don't know what else has got to happen except this. If you're praying for somebody that's lost, pray for them. Because that same chapter that I mentioned where Peter wrote, he said, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. Here's why I believe the only reason that Jesus Christ hadn't come back. It says, the long suffering of our Lord is salvation unto usward. I want to tell you this right now, and we're going to ask them to come with the invitation. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, you need to get saved. It's more important than any decision you'll ever make in your life. It's more important than your next test grade. It's more important than your next promotion. It's more important than who you marry. It's more important than where you retire. It's knowing God. Because I believe he's coming back. And I believe he's going to take his church home. And I believe there'll still be people coming to the church. People say, well, I don't know about all that. Well, Bible says two in the bed, one will be taken. Two in the field, one will be taken. You know, the world we live in today, they're going to try to come up with something that's, oh, you know, the aliens needed somebody to experiment on. You laugh at that, but you know what? You're hearing that garbage now. What you're not hearing is that we were created by God for the purpose of God and the image of God. And God is holy and we are his children. And it's not okay, because we live in a progressive world, just to change the rules and change the rules and think God's going to be all right with it, because he's not. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, most important thing you can do is come pray. If you want somebody to come and pray with you, Brother Allen, would you step right out here with me? Miss Martha and Miss Kendra, would y'all step right over here on this end, please? If you want somebody to pray with you, you come. Don't be ashamed to say, I want to spend eternity in heaven with my Lord. Brother Roy, would you come on, please?
kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, there is room for all who would his glory share. Bliss there awaits, harm can ne'er befall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there.
Have you ever thought, oh, if I could have a place to go, you know, where am I going to move, you know? How many of y'all like to live in Los Angeles? Not me. I've driven through Watts. I've driven through Compton. I've been to those places to where every yard had a 12-foot fence. I was trying to sell aluminum. I thought, we need to go on the fence business. And I've looked at those places, and I've talked to people who say, you know, I was in certain parts of New York, or I was in this place, or I was in that place, and I had to move my family. You know, it's getting to the point. People are running out of a place to hide. You're running out of a place to go. I was up in the mountains a few weeks ago, and you know, used to, well, you could go to this place over here, you can go over there. I'll tell you something, the devil's running rampant in America everywhere. Up in the mountains, and they were talking about how big L.J., the drug bust, were in L.J. Paul said, this world's not my home. Folks, let's just be looking for Jesus. Follow him, walk with him. If you're here and God spoke to you this morning and you didn't move and you'd like for somebody to talk to you, please do that. Because if you're looking for an escape in this world, you're not going to find it.